Series. This is who we are, looking at our core values. So this is week number 3. All together, it's Jesus first. Everyone shares God's story, spending time daily in scripture and word, unity of the family, and sharing God's gifts. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about putting Jesus first. And I love what Marty said after the first week. He said, if we live out these values, people will see Christ in us. And I just, every time I read that line, I'm like, yes, I want people to see Christ in us. You are the outreach mechanism. You are the one that needs to be telling people about Jesus, which took us to our second core value. So our first one is Jesus first, where we believe in the supremacy of Christ in all things. Every person is created to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Life transformation comes by grace through faith in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we believe that Jesus needs to be first. Everyone is created to be in relationship with God, and transformation comes by God's grace. That's what we believe. And secondly, and this is what we talked about, well, there we go. Okay, go back. I'll read it. It says, we were created by Jesus and for Jesus, and this answers the two biggest questions that people ask all the time. Does my life matter, and why am I here? So when we realize that Jesus created us and has purposes for us, that answers those two big questions, because then we can go on this journey to say, okay, what does that look like? But it was Jesus who is the author. He created us, and then the person who walks with us, the perfecter of our faith. And that's just so cool that we get to be with him. And so that's our very first core value, is we need to put Jesus first. The second one is everyone shares God's story. So we believe that God uses people, not pastors, people. I just say that because everybody's like, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, how about what are we going to do? We believe that God uses people to accomplish his purposes on earth, equipping every follower of Christ to fulfill their part of sharing God's love. And that looks like this. God wants you to work with him to share his story, and he will help you to do this. And last week we had 4 people share their story of how they share God's story. So we heard about being vulnerable, putting yourself in a place to be known as a believer. We talked about having intimacy with God, so you have something to share. To develop relationships, like get to know your neighbors, get to know your coworkers, so that you have opportunities to talk about God, and then know your story. Like, know why following Jesus is so important to you. And it was just really cool to listen to the 4 people this week, and even as people shared with me this week about how they have then once again stepped out and shared God's story, has been like, yes, just simple things. Sharing the truth about who God is and how much he loves them. So this brings us around to today's core value, which is spending time daily. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and prayer connects us with God and provides guidance for all of life. We turn to these first in every situation. First. And so we believe that time in scripture and prayer will lead to a deeper relationship with God and wisdom for life. And you'll see a little asterisk there on life. So John the Apostle wrote in his book, it's the 4th gospel in the New Testament, but he wrote this. He says, Jesus said this, I have come that you would have life and have it to the full, or have it to the max, or to the unbelievable. This life isn't just like a ho-hum walking along, just trying to get through. This wisdom for life, it's that abundant, that full, that amazing, that awesome life. That is what Jesus wants for us. And so when we spend time in scripture and prayer, that is the life that he is unfolding for us. And in order to have that amazing, awesome, full, abundant, wow life, we have to be in the scriptures, reading the Bible, and praying every day. So the question might be, why? And the answer is because it's all about relationship. I don't know how often you drive the 400, but for a long time on the outside of Highway Pentecostal Church, they had a big sign that said it's all about relationship. And we believe that God created us to be in relationship with us. We are relational beings, and communication is the way that we build relationship. Listening and speaking. I've had friendships where all the person does is talk, and they don't listen, and they don't ask questions. Like, they don't say, how are you, or what's going on in your life. They just talk, and you don't feel very close to that person. Or if you're talking to someone and asking them questions and they never respond, it's like that relationship isn't going anywhere. To build a relationship, it involves listening and speaking. And so we know that we hear from God through the Bible. We know that the Bible is God's spoken word. And then we speak back to God through prayer. And often the two of them go together. We read the scripture and then we just start praying. And then a scripture comes to mind and then we keep praying. We keep talking back to God. Often we think prayer is this thing that you have to do sitting down or kneeling beside a rail somewhere. But prayer is something that you can do anywhere. You can talk to God anywhere. I'm learning more and more that you don't just have to be connected to a phone line, right? I know some of you are like, phone line, what's that? It's this thing where these used to have a cord to the wall. And you would sit against the wall for an hour and a half talking to your friends. And then, because you didn't have to have call waiting, you'd have to call your friend to let them know, because we didn't have answering machines either. I know some of you that I just rocked your world. It's true. But God, we can talk to him anywhere. We can talk to God anywhere. There's no call waiting. You don't have to leave him a message. Like, he never says, oh, just hold on a second, I'm busy. Like, God is always there. That he's always open to relationship. And so we hear from God through the Bible, and we speak to God through prayer. And so I'm reading this book called Visual Theology. I'm a visual learner. I learn through pictures, which is often why a lot of my PowerPoint has pictures in it, because that's how I learn. The author said this: as Christians, we have the privilege to have a genuine relationship with God in which he speaks to us so we can hear and understand him, and in which we speak to him, trusting that he hears, that he understands, that he responds. The more we commit to Bible reading and to prayer, the more of our lives we spend communing or hanging out with or getting to know or building our relationship with God. As a Christian, you need to be healthy here before you can be healthy anywhere else. A good friend of mine said, do you remember what you ate last Tuesday? I'm like, no. He's like, do you remember what you ate a month ago? No. Do you remember what you ate last year? I'm like, no. He said, would you have known if you didn't eat? I'm like, oh yeah, I know when I don't eat. He said, the same thing is true with the Word of God. Sometimes we read things and we're like, I have no idea what this means, but it still sustains us. It still keeps us going. I can't tell you everything that I read in the Bible last week, but I know it filled me up. Like, it encouraged me. It gave me courage and insight and wisdom. So we don't always remember what we read. We don't always remember what we pray, but it goes into the relational tank between us and God. And that's what sustains us. So in order for us to be healthy believers, we need to be eating and drinking, or we need to be praying, and we need to be spending time in the Word. For you to be a healthy person, if you didn't eat and drink, then you would wither away and eventually die. And the same thing happens to us as believers. When we don't pray, we don't talk to God regularly, when we don't read our Bible regularly, then we actually wither away. We wither away. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a healthy believer so that when the opportunity comes for me to share God's story, I want to be there. I want to be fully present. I want to be able to share what God is doing in my life so that other people can experience the full life that God has for them. So let's unpack some of those two verses that we attached to this core value. The first one is Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, this is a Roman gladius. All right. It's a double-edged sword, and it was small, so it was easy to transport. And so when they would go over long distances, they didn't have to worry about it dragging on the ground or it getting dirty or anything because it was short and it was quick. It was fast. So when the time came for a soldier to use it, it would come up fast and you could just like do whatever they do with swords, right? And so that's what the Word of God is likened to, is this double-edged quick sword. And it's quick. I don't know about you, but when there are times where I read the Bible and I no sooner do I read the words that it goes right in. And I was like, and my heart's beating right now because that happened this morning as I'm reading from Ezekiel. And I've read Ezekiel a lot. It's a book in the Old Testament. He's a prophet. And he talks about how the Israelites have made God unhappy by serving idols. And as soon as I read that word, and they will know that they have made me unhappy, I just started grieving in my heart, thinking about the times I have made God unhappy. That's the quickness of the Word of God. It just goes right in. And it squeezes you. It pierces. It says between joint and marrow. It can go right in there. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about the times that I've made God unhappy. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to make you unhappy. I don't want to make you unhappy. I want to do things that please and honor you. But that's how quick the Word of God moves when we read it. The Scriptures reveal the truth of God and the truth about self. So if you want to know more about who God is, then read the Bible. The Bible tells us everything that we need to know about God. Everything that we need to know about God is in the Bible. And everything that we need to know about ourselves is in there too. Because it is alive and active. And when we read it, it pierces right in. And we know what we need to be doing. That's what I love about the Word of God. It is living and active. And there's, you know, we can come up with all sorts of reasons why we don't read the Bible. But really, at the heart of things, there's only two reasons why we don't read the Bible. The first one is this. Fear of intimacy. We don't really want to be known. And secondly, selfishness. And you could say, well, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I'm like, but you make time for hockey. You make time for stopping at Tim Hortons. You make time for cutting the grass and doing laundry. You make time for showering. I know. I've been around you people. So you cannot say you do not have time for the Word of God, right? It's selfishness. We just don't like to name it that because it sounds so like, that's not me. That's not really me. But at the heart of it, that really is us. I'd rather go to bed than read the Word of God. Because we don't see what it is. We don't see it as a means of getting to know God. And yet, I know for some of you who have been married or newly married or in the beginnings of relationship, all you want to do is spend time with that person, getting to know them. And nothing will, you will get rid of things in your life to spend time with that person. The same needs to be said for us. If we truly want to grow in a relationship with God, then we need to make time for Him. We need to set Him as a priority. So fear of intimacy is just like when I read this word this morning, I didn't want to hear that I made God unhappy. Nobody wants to hear that. And yet I knew that I needed to hear that. We cannot be afraid of God knowing us. And we cannot be afraid of what we'll miss out on, because what we'll miss out on in this world is far less than what we could miss out on with God. So we need to make sure our priorities, if we're choosing to follow Jesus, we need to make sure that following Him comes first, sharing our story, spending time with Him daily in the Word and in Scripture. Next says, if you set out to read your Bible as if it is something you have to do, you'll miss out on the supernatural power it can have in your life. The Bible is God's way of communicating with you and letting you in on who He is. The Holy Spirit uses His Word to show us the truth, convict us, correct us, and train us. That's Annie Downs in 100 Days of Brave, or To Brave. If we want to know who God is, we need to be in the Word of God every day. If we want to grow in our faith, we need to be in the Word of God every day. If you're struggling in your faith or struggling with who God is, first thing you need to say is, am I in the Word? And if you're not in the Word, then that's where you need to be. And if you're struggling with it, we have people that can help you. That's one of the cool things about what Anne did. She would sit with people and explain to them the Word of God. And I know that there's other people in here that do that same thing. So don't be afraid of the Word. Ask for help. Ask for help. Next. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, and I got to read this because I know the NIV and this is NLT, or the New Living. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So God invites you to tell Him everything. Everything. So you can receive everything He has to... Sorry, I set a timer. Isn't that important? So that I would keep on track. God invites you to tell Him everything. Everything. God invites you to tell Him everything so that you can receive everything He has for you. Everything. Because He knows that as you pray, as you communicate with Him, it will change you. And so Judah Smith has a cool way of explaining this. And so instead of me copying or even trying to copy his style, I thought I'd invite him to join us this morning. Prayer changes you, not God. I love it. I can't preach like Judah. He's intense. But the truth is there, and I believe the truth that he shared. Prayer changes us, not God. When we talk with God, then we sense His presence. That's why it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. So the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we pray, we talk with God so that we can experience His fullness, so He can change us, so we can experience the life that He has for us. We read Scripture so we can experience God, so we can grow in Him and be changed to be more like Him. Reading the Word changes us. Praying changes us so that we can experience the life God has for us. So that's why it's one of our core values. We know that it changes our lives. And that's why it's so hard to do it every day. Spending time daily in prayer and Scripture. So what does that look like? What does spending time daily look like? And it looks different for everyone. But when we know the Bible, we will know God. And when we pray, we respond to or we interact with God. The visual theology chapter on this says, when we know the Bible, we speak or we pray God's words back to Him. We remind Him of what He has said, calling on Him to do what He says He will do and to provide what He says He will provide. Now, that's really important because for those of you who have kids, you have probably heard this line, but Mom, you said that I could do this. And what does Mom or Dad have to do at that point? They're like, oh yeah. I said I had to do that. But sometimes I think parents wait to see if kids actually remember. Like, see, some of you are laughing because you know it's true. You know that you wait to see if the child remember that you promised them that they could go to the bulk barn after whatever. You're waiting to see. Because you're willing to do it, but you're waiting to see. And I think God does that too. He waits for us to remind Him. He doesn't need to be reminded, but He waits for us to say, hey, you said, and He's like, I'm glad you remembered. Because God already has all this stuff that He wants to give us. But do we actually know it? Do we remember it? And then do we ask Him for it? He says, you have not because you ask not. We have not because we ask not. And so we need to learn to appropriate, to use the Word of God in our lives on a regular basis. So when we pray, you are my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, then it's like, okay, God, you promised that you would be my refuge and strength. What does that look like? Would you help me to walk in it? Pray those scriptures that we're learning back to God. And so in the next video, I have, it's an example of how a young woman, a 15-year-old girl, had taken God's Word and memorized it and then prayed it back to Him. in one of the most awful experiences that we would never want for anyone. But she had learned the importance of using scripture and prayer daily. So this is it.
The Bible was forever changed for me 3 years ago in Washington, D.C. I was at an event for International Justice Mission, and they had a young woman there, Elizabeth, who's 23 now, but at the time of this story, she was 15 when she was the oldest of seven children living in a Christian family. She wanted to go to Bible college and was in between her sophomore and junior year. She found out about a job in a neighboring community, but while she traveled to that job, she was abducted and taken into captivity in a brothel, was taken across the border into a country where she didn't speak the language. And this young woman of faith, hearing her story, you know, in her own words, she said, all I knew to do was call out to God. And she begged God to save her. And the girls even gathered around and mocked her. They said, God can't hear you in a place like this. I mean, it was the Psalms, you know, happening in that moment as her enemies mocked her. And she said, still, I believed. And an IJM, International Justice Mission operative, came and found her there. And they did their investigation and rescued her that night. And when they went into Elizabeth's room, they found something that they had never seen before. In her little 6-foot by 8-foot room, written on the wall above her mattress, was, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And a friend of mine who works with IJAM had told me later, we asked Elizabeth if she would share that psalm as a part of her story, and she had said, no, that psalm really was for that time in the brothel. She said, I won't read that verse, but she said, I will read Psalm 34, which says, "I sought the Lord and he heard my cry." That changed the whole gospel for me. I think that as an American Christian, I've taken a lot of these verses to be a sort of a figurative bondage, a figurative oppression, and now I can't read Isaiah the same way. There are people in literal bondage, and I am called to be a part of that, to be a part of that freedom, and it's just completely changed the Old Testament, the New Testament, this young woman taking hold of this verse in such a real way.
So I don't know about you, but what I heard was, this is real. This is real. And when we read it, it is living and active, and we need to pray it back to God so that we can experience the fullness that he wants. And if we don't if we aren't experiencing the fullness that he wants, then we really need to ask ourselves, am I spending time with him daily? And am I in the Word? And like I said, not every day in the Word is amazing. But there are so many times where, like even this morning, I was walking and praying, and I prayed, "Oh God, you are my God, and I will earnestly seek you in a dry and weary land where there is no water," again and again and again and again. And when you pray those kinds of things back to the Lord, then he comes and he filled me with his Holy Spirit, giving me peace because I was seeking him. I was acknowledging my weariness. I was looking around me and acknowledging the dryness of our society. And I was like, God, we need you. And then he came. But we need to believe that the words of this book or the words of this app are real. We need to know what they say. We need to pray and connect with God so we know who he is, so that we are healthy believers, so that we can share with others how awesome and mighty God is. So the question is, where are we at on the scale for this core value? What do we do with this info? Where are you at? The question goes like this: how much does this value spending time daily direct your behavior? Like, will you get out of bed at night to read your Bible because you had no other time? Are you willing to get up at 5:30 in the morning or 4 to read the Word of God, to pray? If you were to ask the monks, they would get up and pray for 3 hours a day. And if it was a really busy day, they would get up an hour earlier because they said we needed to have that time in prayer. So just because a day is busy doesn't mean you pray less. It actually means you should pray more. Yesterday morning, I'm working on my list, and I literally typed my list to the Lord. I'm like, "Dear Jesus, this is on my list. 16 things. One of them was a sermon." And I said, "Lord, this stuff needs to get done. Would you please help me?" by noon, 15 of the 16 things were complete, and one of them was the sermon. And I was like, yes, we need to be willing to give these things to the Lord so he can actually move in them. That's part of the conversation. And when people say, you know, how are you doing? And I tell them, they're like, can I do anything to help? God is the same way. If we tell him what's on our list, then he actually says, well, let me help with that. So it says, do you want to move further up the scale? And then it asks, how will you do this? Do you need to get help on your Bible app? Do you need help with reading the word and understanding it? Do you need to come to a prayer meeting Wednesday night, 7:30, to learn how to pray? I don't know. But this value, this core value of spending time daily will radically change your life as a believer if you pour into it. So where are you at on that line? Do you want to move? And do you see the worth? And maybe that's one of the things you need to be saying is, God, would you teach me? Would you teach me the worth of your scripture in my life? Would you teach me how to pray? And so this actually brings us into a time of communion. And what's interesting about communion is that it is the Lord's Supper. And it's the one thing that Jesus told his followers to do in remembrance of him. The one thing. And so in communion, we do five things. You might think, well, aren't we just taking the bread and the juice? Well, there's some thinking that goes in. We look in at ourselves and confess the things that have gone wrong. We look back to Calvary and thank Jesus for his death for us. We look up to his risen presence, longing to nourish us through the bread and the cup, which he said were his body and blood. We look around in love and fellowship with other guests at God's table. And we look forward to his return at the end of all history, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We do all these things. We look in, we look back, we look up, we look around, we look forward. Are things that we do in communion, all with the focus on who Jesus is. We also come together. We take it as one body, sharing one loaf and one cup together. That's why it's gluten-free. And it might not taste very good, but it's not about you. It really is about doing this together. I'm a fan that if you have someone who's a vegetarian to your house for supper, you don't make a separate meal just for them, because then you're not really having them for supper. You're pacifying them. I know I said that out loud. It's okay. But we're family, so we figure out how to include everyone in our family. So we choose that by having gluten-free bread. So when you come forward, you can say, I am a part of this family. I'm a part of this family. So we share one loaf and one cup together. We stand against the culture of individualism. So it's not all about you. It's all about us. And we declare that we are family. We also reflect on the scriptures, specifically from 1 Corinthians 11. It goes like this. The teaching I gave you, so this is Paul the Apostle is writing this to the Corinthians. The teaching I gave you is the same teaching I received from the Lord. On the night when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was handed over to be killed, he took bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke the bread and said, this is my body, it is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, or do this to remember me. In the same way, after they ate, Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the new agreement that is sealed with the blood of my death. When you drink this, do it to remember me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are telling others about the Lord's death until he comes. So a person who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is not worthy of it will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Look into your hearts, your own hearts, before you eat the bread and drink the cup, because all who eat the bread and drink the cup without recognizing the body eat and drink it against themselves. So as we leave this passage up there, I've asked the team to sing, and we're going to reflect. So this is your time You don't have to worry about not knowing the words, because it's about reflecting and asking God about this passage. Ask Him what's going on in your own heart. And to think about what God is saying to you.